Welcome to Barbecue Radio Nation, America's premier barbecue radio show. Join your hosts, David Caius and Dan Hathaway, as they sink their teeth into the finest grilling, smoking, and barbecue from coast to coast with the industry's leading grill masters. Stay tuned for great tips, techniques, and products that will enhance your backyard experience by being a part of Barbecue Radio Nation.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome to Barbecue Radio Nation. I'm Dave Caius along with our executive producer T-Bone and our co-host today, pitmaster of Smoke on Wheels, Annie Groneman. Coming up, great guests lined up. A returning guest, Kelly Wirtz. He's a winner of the Jack Daniel's World Barbecue Championship. He's got his Four Legs Up barbecue team. He's got 35 grand championships, 25 reserve championships. He barely gets out of the house and competes. That man is busy. Very busy. And of course, we're going to be talking to Andy here, who's in the house, about chili, one of my favorite topics. Starting to get a little cooler outside. Speaking of Andy, welcome back to Barbecue Radio Nation.
Thanks, Dave.
Good to have you here. Now, I've got a question to start with. So I understand you're big in Belgium. Tell us about that.
Oh, that's just a great inside joke. We got to be on MasterChef Australia. I got to be on MasterChef Australia with Gary Megan when we were over there on one of the trips. And it was one of the most viewed episodes of the show. Had great global presence. But here in the U.S., we have our own MasterChef with Gordon Ramsay.
Okay.
So it doesn't air over here. So it's just an inside joke between several of us. They're like, oh, you're huge in Belgium.
So you filmed this in Australia, I assume.
Yes.
How was Australia? I've never been. That's one of the countries I would love to visit.
Australia's amazing.
I bet.
We've been lucky enough to go to just about every state. We haven't been up to the Sunshine Coast yet, but Melbourne's amazing. Sydney, Perth, you name it. They all kind of have their city that I would say mirrors the U.S. Hmm. Sydney's very much like a New York to me. Melbourne's more of a Chicago, but just phenomenal people. And we've made so many friends that are now like family that I really love when I get to go back.
Okay, so this thing, this video you do kind of goes global, but you can't beat out Gordon Ramsay. What's your problem?
Exactly.
You know what you need to do? You need to get angry with people because that's what he does. You know, just need to scream at people and everybody just go, well, we need to have Andy Groneman on here instead of Gordon because he knows how to get mad at people.
Yeah, I'm not good at that. I can't yell at people.
So when you did the video there, what was it? Brisket? What were you working on?
So it's similar to the MasterChef here. They bring on up and coming chefs that are competing against each other for the right to be MasterChef. So this particular episode was the introduction of Low and Slow Barbecue into Australia. We had Yoder smokers for all of these guys and we were cooking. It's typically a short cook format. And they were trying to figure out how to do a long cook format in this show. It'd be the first time they've done it. So we settled on ribs for the episode because you can cook those a little quicker than say a brisket,
right?
But it's still a long cook kind of low and slow item. Well, over there, their hogs are a lot smaller than ours. So the ribs are not the same.
They touch the grill and they're done.
Yes. So we had an interesting time. We kind of custom cut all these ribs. And one of the shticks of the show is that Coles, which is one of the companies that's a sponsor, that's a grocer over there. Pretty much everything you see in the show, you can get at Coles. Hmm. So everybody tried to go get these ribs that they saw on the show and they don't exist. So it broke the internet. Coles was getting complaints. It was really funny.
By the way, T-Bone, join in on this one. I just came up with a genius idea for a barbecue show. Okay.
Another one?
So far, none of my genius ideas have been done. But I think this, because I was thinking about your show that you're doing. Okay, you guys, have you all watched The Voice?
Yes.
On NBC?
Sure.
So this is what we do, is we have a voice contest where you don't see the barbecuer, but you taste the food. And then if you like the food, you turn around and then they get to be a contestant on the show.
There you go.
Tell me, that's not genius.
It's a bad idea.
It's going to be on the Food Network because somebody's listening right now is going to steal the idea. And I'm going to be stuck in Kansas making no money when I should... That's a genius idea.
I don't think the Food Network has the budget for those chairs.
That probably not. Probably not.
Oh, if they can pay Guy Fieri $80 million, I think they can afford a couple of chairs to turn around. If nothing else, just use those old barber chairs like we used to when we were growing up getting haircuts. Go. Just spin it around. But anyway, my genius idea of the day. So the name of your, what's the name of your competition team?
Smoke on Wheels.
Smoke on Wheels. You guys have a whole bunch of awards and trophies, and talk a little about that.
Sure. So, I mean, I don't like to talk about awards.
You get to brag. It's okay.
We've won a few things over the years. We've got
a
couple of national brisket titles. We've won pork at the Jack Daniels. We've reserved grand at the American Royal. Lots and lots of grand championships around the country. And that's allowed us to go all over the country, right? When you start winning,
right,
you start
sure.
cooking more and more. And so from Lake Placid to, you know, Indio, California, we've gotten to go everywhere.
Which one did you get the most pop from? In other words, like people coming up to you and wanting to do stuff with you.
Ooh, that's a good question. Probably the pork win from the Jack Daniels. It's a world invitational, and winning a category there is pretty tough. So, you know, we had our products out and we're starting to build up kind of a baseline for what we wanted to bring to market as a team. And winning the Jack Daniels and pork kind of made the decision that our pork marinade was going to be the first thing we launched.
Got some people's attention.
Exactly.
By the way, if you want to check out Andy, go to Facebook at Smoke on Wheels, right? Smoke on Wheels.
Yeah, yep. You got it.
Go like his page. Speaking of Andy, it's time now for our Ask Andy segment, sponsored by our October Barbecue Sauce of the Month, which is Cowtown Barbecue Sauce, 18 ounces, only $5.99. The best sauce on the planet. This title was awarded at the 2001 American Royal Barbecue Contest, beating out hundreds of other barbecue sauces from around the world, and you can purchase this sauce at the Kansas City BBQ store.com. T-Bone, what do we got this week?
Okay, well, we've got a question from Annie Castagnata in Texas.
Okay.
There, you want to pronounce that one, Dave?
No, I can say Texas, that we know that.
and they didn't get the note that Dan was on break. So it says, Dear Dr. Dan, what's the key element to getting consistently good barbecue?
The key element to getting consistently good barbecue, well, that's got to be temperature.
Mm.
For me, regardless of what you're cooking, getting the right temp is going to solve most of your problems. So if it's a chicken breast, you're going to take it to 155 degrees and rest it. It's going to come up and stay moist and juicy.
And let me ask you quickly about chicken.
Yeah.
You got an element of taste and texture, but you also got a safety element too, because you don't want to undercook the chicken, right?
Correct. So you've got that on the grill, you bring it up to 155, and when you pull it off, there's still thermal inertia at work. Mm-hmm. So it's going to finish cooking while you rest it. It's perfect that way.
So there's a drinking game that goes along with Barbecue Radio Nation that you may not know about. He hasn't said the word yet, but if you say a certain word, people have to chug whatever. Now, it can be orange juice or coffee. I mean, some people listen to us in the morning. But if you want the right temperature, what do you use?
A thermometer.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Chug, chug.
Chug, chug, chug. Is there a particular thermometer you personally like to use?
Yeah, I use ThermoPens.
Okay.
Just phenomenal. Great thermometer. Instant read. In and out. You get your temp really quick.
That's very good. Very good. Well, thank you for that. And yes, temperature. We always talk about temperature. That thing is so important. And we're going to send, who was it again that won that?
Annie Castagnata.
All right. We're sending our winner, our October Barbecue Sauce of the Month. It's Cowtown Barbecue Sauce, 18 ounces, only $5.99. Be sure and try this zesty, tangy product with beef, pork, poultry, or fish, and you can understand why Cowtown is number one. Coming up, we're very excited to have a returning guest, Kelly Wirtz. He is a former Jack Daniels barbecue champion. He's got 35 grand championships. He's got his team, Four Legs Up Barbecue. So check that out. That's Four Legs Up Barbecue. We'll be talking to Kelly Wirtz. And don't forget, too, with Andy Groneman, what's the name of your team again?
Smoke on Wheels.
Check that out on Facebook, too. We'll be right back with Kelly right here on Barbecue Radio Nation.
B be sure to check out the huge selection of barbecue accessories, skewers, racks, thermometers, books, and so much more at the KansasCityBBQStore.com. They are shipping out nationwide for all of your grilling needs.
You love food, and when you love food, you love finding new flavors to explore, new techniques to try, and seeing the look of your friends and family's faces when they bite into it. Old Hickory Pit Smokers is the secret ingredient to making restaurant-quality barbecue right in your own backyard. Old Hickory Pit Smokers are made in the USA. Visit us at oldhickorypits.com or call us toll-free 800-223-9667.
Welcome back to Barbecue Radio Nation. Dave Kias along with Pitmaster Annie Groneman. And we've got with us this week Kelly Wirtz, a returning guest. He's got his Four Legs Up barbecue team. Incredibly successful. They've got 35 grand championships, 25 reserve championships, all kinds of different things. Kelly's barbecue sauce has won the American Royal Best Sauce on the Planet. And you can get Kelly's barbecue seasonings at the KansasCityBBQStore.com. Kelly, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
We are doing awesome, and it's good to be here.
Are you out in Great Bend, Kansas?
Yes.
I've done comedy shows there.
That must have been a really lively crowd.
Well, let's just say a lot of whiskey was flowing that night. And I was, you know, the more they drink, the funnier I get.
That's right.
So Andy's here, of course, and we're talking a little bit about you've got a new role with the KCBS State Championships. What's going on with that?
Well, you bet. I am the program coordinator for the National State Championship Series. We've got a new, basically a steak championship series that we're starting to debut here. We'll probably have some first steak, actual steak cook-offs coming up either right before the end of the year or starting next year. We'll have actually the steak championship finals down in the Bottoms in Kansas City there next July.
So that's down in the Stockyards area. What kind of steaks are we cooking, Kelly? Like, what makes this kind of a cool, new concept?
Well, since we're actually running with the Kansas City Strip, which brings us back to the old history of Kansas City Strip, the Cowboys, and coming into the Stockyards to sell their cattle down there. Of course, they cut a lot of Kansas City strips and served a lot of them in the restaurants down there in the Bottoms in the old days, up through the time when the Stockyards closed up down there in 81. So it's a lot of history with that cut. It's a really good cut. In fact, I hadn't had one for a while until we started working with this program again, kind of get back to cooking some Kansas City strips and really enjoying the flavor on them, the texture on them, just enjoying them all the way around.
You know, in the old days down in the West Bottoms there at the Stockyards, you could have just reached over and grabbed a cow and then started doing your steaks right then. You didn't have to wait, right?
That's why they had Brandon irons for.
Yeah, so a strip, Kelly, a strip's probably one of the tougher steaks to cook. I mean, if you think about fillets and ribeyes, mm-hmm. and you know that fillet you're always going to try and cook on the rare side, but a strip you kind of have to nail it right to get that texture.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I've been reminding myself of when I've been out practicing cooking. And we even had a practice steak contest down at the KCBS office this past Sunday. And guys are really doing a good job of nailing that doneness, because there's a really fine line on doneness on these strips. If you overcook them, they get grainy and they dry out real quick. If you undercook them, They're tough. They're just that undercooked, tough, chewy, rubbery. But if you nail the doneness on them, that really medium rare, they are an excellent, excellent piece of meat.
And since I was lucky enough to get to judge that was it was pretty great to see some of those steaks come in and just really nail that right tenderness on them. They just melt in your mouth.
Let me ask you something. Speaking of tenderness, because I, I'm on a budget and I cook strips sometimes and I'm not as happy as I'd like to be with them. What can I do in preparation to try to make it a little more tender?
Actually, most any of them, if you're buying a good quality New York or Kansas City strip, they're going to be tender if you get that right doneness on them. I don't ever see any reason to jacquard or use any meat tenderizer on them or anything like that. A good quality one is going to be.
So what do you use to check that temperature with?
Sorry, we have a drinking game going on, but keep going, Kelly. Yeah.
Say thermometer, Kelly.
Yeah, they're a thermometer.
Thermometer, everybody.
Cheers.
Thermopins are really great for that. They're small. ThermalWorks has got some of those new needle probes out now that work really great. One thing you're gonna have to watch for though on cooking those is how much overrun you're gonna get once you pull them off. They're gonna keep continuing to rise. Are you cooking them low and slow and getting them up pretty slow? They're not going to run very much. If you got them in a 500 degree hot cast iron pan and just pouring the heat to them, you're gonna have to pull them off a little bit earlier when you let them rest, because they're going to run some more, and then let them come back down before you start slicing on them.
Yeah, and that temperature, depending on what seasoning you put on, is also going to play a role there, right? Like if you've got a seasoning that's got any kind of sugar in it at all or any type of sweet note, that super high heat could potentially scorch it, or if you've got any large chunks like garlic.
Right. The black pepper, if you're going on a direct hot fire, cast iron skillet, any of those kind of deals in that really hot Weber kettle direct on, like you say, the rubs with a lot of high sugar content on them or a lot of herbage in there, that herbage is just going to burn.
So while it
sticks, you're going to get that flavor on that steak. It's going to have that some of those burn notes to it that aren't good.
Yeah, so it just seems like even though a steak should be easy to cook and it's just a few minutes in the cooker, it actually takes some skill to pull that off. So this ought to be a pretty interesting series to see how people, what their take on these steaks are.
Right, and that was the beauty of practice cook Sunday down at the office. We had everybody out there cooking steaks. We had seven cooks out there, and there were seven different ways of them getting them cooked. Hmm. They were all good.
And how many people were? How many people? You had seven cooks. How many were eating?
Seven cooks. Well, we had six judges, and there might have been a few other people wandering around getting a few samples here and there.
And I saw a couple of the cooks walking around with trays of their meat so that they could get kind of the live sample going with the other cooks to get a little feedback.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Yep.
There's always somebody get handing out a few samples, getting a little feedback, do that practice run and see how it's going to run. But that's also kind of the other beauty of the KCBS National Steak Championships is you get your own steaks. We're not worried. You can order those from either Creekstone Farms or
Kelly,
Double R Farms.
Kelly, I'm going to jump in real quick. We got another segment with Kelly Wirtz. Don't go anywhere. And we'll be right back on Barbecue Radio Nation.
Check out Barbecue Radio Nation on Facebook. Give us a like. Dave and Dan need the attention.
Welcome back to Barbecue Radio Nation. I'm Dave Kias, along with our producer T-Bone and co-host award-winning pitmaster Annie Gronerman. We've got Kelly Works on the phone today. He's got Four Legs Up Barbecue, one of the most successful barbecue teams on the professional barbecue competition circuit. A one-man team. Kelly's has distinguished itself among the following, including the Barbecue World Championship and having won the Jack Daniel's World Invitational, 35 Grand Championships, 25 Reserve Championships, and then it just goes on and on and on. And of course, check out his seasonings at the KansasCityBBQStore.com. That's Kelly's BBQ Seasonings. Kelly, before we get started talking about steaks, T-Bone sneaked me a note, just like kids in school, and it says, do you need judges? And how do I become one for your steak competitions?
Yes, we always need judges at steak contests and or barbecue contests, either one. So there is a list of contests on the KCBS website. That's www.kcbs.us. And there will also be a listing of classes on there where you can go take the class. That will train you to be a certified barbecue judge and or a certified steak judge. So you can then go judge steaks or barbecue, either one.
So you can get certified in both barbecue and steak.
Yes.
Double threat.
Yep.
I'm just thinking, see, I'm one of those people. I'm not like you guys where I'm going to get out to all the equipment. I love barbecue, but that's my calling right there. T-Bone got to do a contest not too long ago, and he just came back and he was just saying how much fun it was. But I'm going to turn it over to Andy for a second, because I want you guys talking about steaks and how we can help the backyard barbecuer become a better steak griller, barbecuer person.
Yeah. But before we go there real quick, I was just going to say, when you're going to these classes and doing that, getting set up to be a judge, you might want to be a KCBS member too, because then you know where these events are to go judge.
Good point.
You can kind of find out about those things. Kelly, could you just real quickly tell us how you join KCBS and what that costs and what it entails?
It's basically have an interest in barbecue, whether it's cooking, whether it's judging, whether it's anything, basically anything to do with barbecue, if you sell charcoal or something like that. $35 annual fee for being a KCBS member. Basically, it's fill out the form and send it in, and they'll get you all set up. Then it's a small fee for the CBJ classes. I don't remember exactly what those are, or the CSJ classes, the Certified Steak Judge. And we're actually in the process of moving those judging classes to an online class, so you don't have to wait for a class to come to your area or fly into Kansas City and then go take a class. And
Dave's going to get teed steak sooner than he thinks.
That's right. And how did we work this deal? We're talking steak program, and the producer guy on the other end is T-Bone.
I know. It's just a coincidence. It's just a complete coincidence. Yes.
Yeah.
So let's talk about steak. So you've got, you know, everybody's at home. It's getting to be fall, so grilling weather and tailgate weather is here. What give us some good tips, Kelly, on what somebody needs to do to cook their favorite steak?
Cooking their favorite steak, don't overcook it. Mm. So use a thermometer.
Yes.
Nice.
Nice.
get a good, one of the best things you can have is a good digital thermometer. I like the ThermoWorks ThermoPen. They've also got some really good needle probes to go in their shuffle arms. You know, if you're... And there's a lot of funny, Kelly,
we were talking about that in the first segment. We were talking about thermometers, and of course a ThermoPen was the first one that came out of my mouth, because it's so quick and accurate. They're just phenomenal. And they really do make a difference in your cooking. If you do nothing else to level up your game, cooking to the right temp will get you further than anything else you can do.
Anything else. You know, thermopen's $79, $89, but that's probably one of the best spent $79 that you're ever going to do for your grill habit.
So, favorite method to cook a steak, Kelly? Do you like to reverse sear or go in a cast iron skillet, or what do you think on that?
I'm kind of actually just old school. Throw it on the grill and hit it getting hot on one side. Flip it over once, hit her getting hot on the other side, move it off of the direct flame and let her run until it's 125, 30 degrees-ish, kind of depending on there again what you like and your temperature. Make sure you get that thermopen out there and let it rest once you get to that point.
And so for everybody listening, when we say let it rest, what do we mean by that? What is that doing for the steak for them?
When, especially if you're cooking hot in that cast iron skillet or hot right over the coals, when you pull it off, the temperature is going to keep rising because you're pouring so much heat into that piece of meat. The temperatures are going to keep rising in another 5 to 10 degrees, but then you really want to let the temperature rise and come back down. That's going to let the muscle fibers relax and let the meat juices redistribute inside that steak. You've probably all got a steak, got it off, and cut into it right away, and the juice just runs out of it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, well, giving it that rest time really does make a difference. And Dave, I'm going to tell you, Kelly is one of the best beef cooks, bar none. He used to host a dinner for us out in Great Bend when we'd come out for the chest to chest brisket cook-off, and his prime rib is legendary. So
hold on. Nice.
Legendary.
Kelly, let me ask you a question because I'm the amateur guy here and we've only got about 2 minutes left. And because everybody's always talks about sear, and this is my personal thing. I'm always afraid to turn the heat up too much when I first put it on. So I end up doing a very much low and slow. It turns out well. Is that an okay way to do it? Or should I just get a little more gutsy and turn that heat up a little more?
Get a little more gutsy and turn it up a little bit more.
Okay.
A sear, and what a sear does, it does not lock in the moisture. No matter what you do, the muscle fibers are going to tighten up in that piece of meat. And it's going to push out whatever moisture it's going to push out because it's going to get to 120, 30 degrees, whatever that temperature is. You're going to lose a certain amount of moisture no matter how you do it. But the one thing that a sear really does for us is what we call the Maillard effect. That's what high heat converts meat proteins into sugars. So the browning on your steak is actually brown sugar that you're getting.
Okay.
That's why that brown stuff is such really good flavor. But the only thing you got to watch, don't get it too hot that you burn.
And see, that's what I'm always scared of.
So that's, you know, so when you're just kind of getting started, don't run a real hot fire. Run a little bit lower and kind of work your way up until you kind of get to that sweet spot that you find gets you that nice sear, but gets it done at the right time as well, too.
Perfect, perfect. Well, we've been talking with Kelly Wirtz. He's got his Four Legs Up barbecue team. You need to check them out on Facebook. He's a one-man band doing it, just kicking it out on the barbecue circuit. He's got the wonderful Kelly's BBQ Seasonings. You can find that at the KansasCityBBQStore.com. And we'll be right back talking chili on Barbecue Radio Nation.
I'm probably okay to have one more drink before I drive home. I'm probably okay. I open the window to stay alert. Probably okay. I just popped some gum in my mouth.
Step out of the car, please.
I probably made a mistake.
Probably okay isn't okay when it comes to drinking and driving. If you see a warning sign, stop and call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Andy and Dave here on Barbecue Radio Nation with a barbecue shout out going to one of our sponsors, Old Hickory Pit Smokers. You can check them out at oldhickorypits.com. Old Hickory Pits got the one wood burning barbecue pits. Those things are gorgeous, both commercial and residential smokers. Again, oldhickorypits.com. And our weekly radio station barbecue shout out goes to FM 96.3 and AM 620 News Talk WVMT in Burlington and Plattsburgh, Vermont. You can hear us Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. and check their website out at WVMTradio.com. Thank you for being a part of Barbecue Radio Nation and the Kansas City Barbecue Store Product Spotlight, which you can buy, that, by the way, at the Kansas City BBQ Store.com. So guys, I was looking at the website, and I'm always bringing up, you know, little gadgets and things, but this was something that kind of jumped out at me. It's a little bit different for the show, but I thought you guys might be interested in. Andy, you may have tried it at one point. It's KC Classic Raspberry Jalapeno Cheese Dip. Anybody?
Yeah.
Have you tried it?
I have tried it.
Okay. What'd you think?
It's excellent.
I bet. I mean, raspberry jalapeno cheese dip. How can you go wrong?
And it's fall weather, fire pit time, hot cheese dip. Yeah, you can't beat that.
11.5 ounce, only $6.99. It's got like a little bit of kick to it, right? But not overly powerful.
Yeah, not overly powerful. You get that sweet and then the heat on the back. It's great.
And I love cheese dip. I mean, you can use it on sandwiches. You can use it on wraps.
What did you dip it in, Andy?
The cheese dip?
What did you dip?
Chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like nacho chips.
Yeah, nacho chips.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cantina style, the thin ones.
Oh, and you don't even, I mean, I love salsa, but with that, I bet you don't even need salsa. You just straight.
Yeah. Straight on the chip. And we could have a whole segment on the thickness of chips and the right chip to dip ratio. Come on now. That's okay. Serious.
T-Bone, we're making a note because I like that topic. I truly like that topic.
Chip to dip ratio.
That's right.
And still being football season, which thank goodness it's going to be for a while. That's a perfect snack to be watching football with.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So check it out. It's KC Classic Raspberry Jalapeno Cheese Dip, 11.5 ounces, only $6.99. And you can get it at the Kansas City BBQ Store.com. Also, while you're there, Andy's got his Smoke on Wheels products there.
They are there. You can find them right on the shelf.
And he's like, yes, please plug me. So speaking of fall, things getting a little bit cooler, especially up north. We've had some really nice weather here in the Midwest. But when it starts getting cooler, one of the first things I think about is chili.
Ah, chili.
Chili. And there's two local restaurants that come to mind. One does a burnt ends chili, which is delicious. And then the other one does, I think they just call it like brisket chili.
Yep.
But let's talk about chili. You're a master of this.
So, and chili, you can go so many different directions, but heading into fall, you know, we're starting to have those 40 degree mornings going on, and you get that nice chill in the air, and that's chili weather. For me, if I'm doing a red chili, those brisket chilies and the burnt ends chilies, they're great because when you add that brisket or burnt ends to it, you're getting that smoke element into the chili because you're taking, so, and you want to use a fatty meat when you do that. So brisket's great. You can chunk up some pork shoulder or something and brown that down and get that smoky element in it. But I like to use grilled and smoked elements in my chili. So whether it's the tomatoes and the chilies that I just roast on the grill, before I make that base, you really get a nice earthy, deeper flavor when you do that.
Now, let me ask you something with it. So let's say you make a big brisket for the family, right? You got two kids, right?
Yeah.
So they have to eat constantly. So you make a big brisket and then all of a sudden you happen to make too big of a brisket and you got some leftovers. And of course you don't want to waste brisket. Is that maybe the next day when you go, maybe I'll do a chili?
You got it. That's exactly right.
So do you always keep the other chili things on hand or like, oh, I got to go to the store. I got to go get chili stuff.
You know, I try and have some chilies and tomatoes and stuff around all the time. Onions are always in the pantry. Yep. So I might have to go now. We don't want to incite any riots here, but some people would say if you add beans that it becomes stew. It's no longer chili. It's stew. If you talk to some of our Texas friends, but if I'm going to add some beans to it, some pintos or something, I might have to go buy those, but I try and keep all the staples around.
Personally, I like the beans, but I like light on the beans. I want it mostly. I want the meat. I don't want the meat to get lost in all the beans.
Bingo.
But the thing that is, I remember the one restaurant, and I'm not going to say their name. It was really good, but the burnt end chunks were so big, I had to like get a fork and knife and trim them down and then throw them back in the chili. Cause as this is going to come as a shock to everybody, my mouth isn't that big for the burnt ends that they had, cause they were huge. But the burnt ends in chili, when you're not used to it, which I wasn't when I tried it the first time, it was delicious. I mean, it was just something different, but I loved it.
So the chilies in general, and if you get any chipotle or anything in the chili, it's got earthy back tones to it already. Mm-hmm. So when you put any kind of a smoked meat in there or a grilled meat in there, it's just going to double down on that and build those bigger flavors. So yeah, I'm always a fan of brisket or pork or something off the grill going into the chili.
Now, when you start with the big pot and you get everything in there, do you simmer it for a long period of time, or do you cook it high and then simmer? What's the best way to do it?
So I'll start with my raw vegetables first, okay, right? So I'll take my onion and my peppers, and if I've roasted the peppers on the grill, that's fine.
That sounds good.
I'll bring them in. I still put them in with the onions. Once all of that sweats down, I add the tomatoes, and I just put in like whole, either stewed or just kind of, you know, that canned Roma tomato, toss those in there. Once everything's going, add a little garlic. And just let that cook down. Yeah, just let that simmer for a while and then start to add the seasonings.
Now, with the meat, I assume you want the meat already cooked before you put it into the big pan, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't want to depend on the pan to cook the meat because you might undercook it a little bit.
Yeah, I always take, and I'll use, like I said, I like to take chunks of leftover pork butt that come off. And then I take my leftover brisket and I just chop both of those down and use that as the meat element in there. I typically don't even need to use ground meat, or if I do, I'll still cook that as a chub in the smoker so that it gets some smoke on it, and then break it down after I cook it.
I have a funny little story that I've told this before, but it was a long time ago. So I had an ex-girlfriend, and there's many reasons to ex-girlfriend. But anyway, so she, on my birthday, cooked chili, which I love, and she made turkey chili. But she did not tell me it was turkey chili. And I had a bowl and it was delicious. I went back and had another bowl. And then she goes, "Is that good?" I go, "Yeah." She goes, she was real nervous to tell me, like I was going to get mad or something. And she goes, "Well, it's actually turkey chili." And I go, "I liked it." And I've done turkey chili for tacos and chili since. Did I say that right? Ground turkey. Yeah.
Was it a red chili or a green chili?
It looked like regular chili.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it does brown up a little bit different. But I think once it was in the sauce and everything, it came out. But I thought it was delicious. And now every once in a while, I'll have ground, you know, turkey tacos instead. I'll admit, it's not quite as good as the beef. I mean, you know, but it's still pretty darn good. So, okay, when you get done, I may get in trouble for this, but I like to sprinkle a little onions on top. And I like the shredded cheese.
Got to have cheddar.
And I got to have the crackers. Is the crackers, is that a sin? Should you not be having the crackers? Because I crumble a bunch of crackers on there.
I think the crackers are fine. I like to actually use nacho chips, or the kids like to go like old school Frito pie kind of a thing with the Fritos.
Yeah,
so
that's a great selection.
The scoops.
Yeah. And of course, if you got some good old fashioned cornbread and honey butter.
Absolutely.
Oh, gosh.
All day and twice on Sunday.
One of our radio station guys sent us, I can't remember, Brandon down south, and he sent us a wonderful email about, you know, when I listen to you guys, I get hungry. And I'm like, when we talk about it, I get hungry. But to have chili and cornbread and honey butter, that's just the best combination.
That is.
So, but yeah, I'm going to have to try that with the Fritos because I forgot about the Fritos.
Yeah.
You know? And then the next day, you got chili dogs.
Absolutely, you do. Get the dogs out and go
grill
to
them,
town.
Grill them.
And it's always better the next day anyway, right?
If you do it right, it's always better the next day. Well, anyway, thanks so much for that. Of course, we want to thank once again Kelly Wirtz for being on the show. Kelly, man, he's just got so many awards, so many trophies, and you want to check him out at his Four Legs Up barbecue team, and you can see that on Facebook. And he's a Jack Daniel's World Barbecue Champion. And of course, we want to thank Andy for being on the show. And also want to thank our wonderful sponsor, Cowtown Barbecue Sauce, 18 ounces, only $5.99. And you can get that at the Kansas City Barbecue Store. So be sure and check that out. For our producer, T-Bone, and my co-host, Pitmaster, and Smoke on Wheels man, Andy Groneman, I'm Dave Kias. Thanks for listening and happy barbecuing.
Love food, and when you love food, you love finding new flavors to explore, new techniques to try, and seeing the look of your friends and family's faces when they bite into it. Old Hickory Pit Smokers is the secret ingredient to making restaurant quality barbecue right in your own backyard. Old Hickory Pit Smokers are made in the USA. Visit us at oldhickorypits.com or call us toll free 800-223-9667.